you.
Break it down a little bit for us, drop some knowledge about that. And then coming in at 4:40, we'll have the very, 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 very funny Gina Barreca, who's got a new book out called I'm With Stupid, which she wrote with Gene Weingarten. And also statuesque beauty Rebecca Lobo will be joining us. And she'll be here from like 4:40 to 5:30. Don't look at me like that. She was described by insane sportscaster Scott Gray as a statuesque, which she is.
No,
I mean, I think she
is.
She's statuesque,
she
and she's a great-looking woman.
See, the reason I'm looking at you like that is because I'm thinking, okay, as usual, see, once again, this is one of these things that starts out on a real high note.
Yeah.
It starts out on an extremely positive, in a extremely positive vein, and then, but the more you talk about it, the more it goes up. By the time 5 minutes goes by, you will just be trashing her.
No, I'm not going to trash. I'm not going to trash her because, first of all, she's coming in here and she's very sharp-tongued. And she also could just beat the living crap out of
me. I think she could beat you severely.
So there's no front here on which I deal with Rebecca.
Ticket sales for that, by the way, be brisk.
I'm back and forth with Rebecca on email and stuff all the time now, and there's no theater in which I can win.
Pay-per-view there would be right through the roof.
Let me just say one thing about Rebecca, which is she's nowhere near as nice as people think she is. Apparently it was Rebecca Lobo Day yesterday at the Capitol or something. Did you know about this?
No.
I didn't even know. That's not why we're having her today. We're just having her because we haven't talked to her for a while, and she's an interesting person. I didn't know it was Rebecca Lobo Day. And I would think that, as a matter of fact, I might have been a good person. I don't know whether they do this when it's a day that's named after you or something like that, or I guess maybe the governor, somebody had declared it Rebecca Lobo Day. But I could have gone up there and kind of presented an alternative position on this, you know, or a countervailing view or whatever.
I don't think that's the idea.
Opposing views are welcome, you know.
I don't think that's the idea of having a day for somebody. I think it's all positive for the day.
Yeah, I could have gotten up there and explained why Rebecca really is not that nice a person.
Yeah.
But
unfortunately, you know what would have happened?
Yeah.
I don't know how much of a drop it is from the from the top of the Capitol dome there.
Well, you can't get anywhere in this country by coming out against Rebecca Lobo, because everybody really does like her.
But, well, as well they should.
Well,
what's wrong with her?
They don't know her as well as I. Now that I've gotten to know her, she's...
Yeah, we'll see. Again, this is something I think what's happened is it's just
she's
her
sharp,
reaction.
Sharp-tongued.
Right.
What I'm saying.
But it's her reaction to the assault, the verbal attacks that have been foisted upon her by you.
I didn't start this, nor am I going to finish it, though. So anyway, there's no place that I can win with Rebecca Lobo. Anyway, so there's that. There's Gina Barreca and Rebecca. If they got married, they'd be Rebecca Barreca. And then coming up 5:40, it'll be Storehead Republican Pinhead Cowboy Frank Butash, who's the leader of a group of people called the Cowboys. Frank's an amusing person, though. He's from West Harvard. He's very conservative, and he leads this.
Call him a pinhead, and then
And he leads this group called the Cowboys, and the idea is
to
cowboy up and help Governor Rowland somehow.
Cowboy up and help Governor Rowland?
Right. Help him somehow. Be cowboy.
Don't the Red Sox kind of have that first?
Yeah. I don't know if he does this cowboy up or not, but they're supposed to be cowboys anyway.
Well,
I don't know anything.
And Rowland will lose in the seventh game, too?
Of course, the Cowboys are...
Maybe they need a pitching change.
Right. The cowboy movement was formed about a week and a half ago. For all I know, maybe decimated by now. I mean, I'm not sure that there have quite as many people coming to the meetings as each day goes by, particularly as we go through this this new Common Cause report. It looks pretty hot. Let me just, on a personal note, say this. Here I am wandering into, I concede I'm about to wander into a somewhat questionable area, but I went to a funeral today. This is for sort of a distant relative who's 96 years old, and I didn't really know her that well. But my mother did, and I brought my mother in. But I'm getting so that I find funerals kind of relaxing, and that I enjoy them. I know that this sounds like a strange thing to say, and I'm not saying it to be funny or anything like that. I'm saying it because I really do. I find that funerals give me an opportunity to reflect on life. And I often enjoy just sitting there, and it's usually kind of a night. I mean, we were at a very pretty little church in Plainville that I'd never been to before. And the minister was an acting minister, was a woman, and she did a fantastic job. I don't even know what her name was, but she was great. She was a Congregationalist, but she really kind of felt the fire. You don't run into that in the UCC that much, but she had, you know how sort of people really feel the fire they kind of glow a little bit, you know. She had that going on. She was great. I loved her. As a matter of fact,
she was a Congregationalist.
Congregationalist, but she, I don't know. She had something going on. She was very good.
You really don't see that.
She's new to the church, but she still gave a lovely little talk. She carefully interviewed people and kind of got in the sense of who the deceased was. I guess she knew her a little tiny bit, but she's only been at the church for about 5 months. But she, you know, and at these funerals, I may start going to funerals of people I don't even know, because it's, you know, there's a little sort of moment where the person's life is reflected upon, and you it's an opportunity to...
Going to funerals of people that you don't even know.
Recreationally.
Recreational funerals.
I bet I'm not the first person to think about this. I really do find them very soothing and kind of comforting.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure all kinds.
It's obviously not the case, you know, like when my friend India died earlier this year. She died so young and everything, and it was just nothing to do but sit there and be just completely miserable. I mean, I don't find that. But, you know, this woman was 96 years old. She had a full life. And, you know, and there was a lovely service. They picked three nice songs. They did Amazing Grace. We did Amazing Grace, Nearer My God to Thee. And then that Rafe...
Stairway to Heaven.
Not sorry. It was, you know, the Rafe Vaughan Williams thing. For all the saints who from their labors rest. That one. That's a nice one. I like that one. So I like the music. I like the church. And
is there a bus that comes by here soon?
Well, you just want to leave? Don't leave, don't leave.
You have completely lost it.
No, I don't think I'm wrong about this. I'll tell you the one real and inappropriate thing.
Oh, see?
No, maybe I shouldn't say this. Well, here's the thing. I've also gotten very interested lately in undertakers. Now, there's a reason for this.
Oh.
No, stop. There's a reason for this. I've been reading this book called Undertakings. It's by a guy named Thomas Lynch, who is a poet. I mean, a real legitimate, really good poet. But he's also an undertaker. That's what he does. That's his family business. That's how he sort of supports his poetry. He's an undertaker. His father was an undertaker. His brothers are undertakers. And they're from some little, you know, crap kicker place up in Michigan. I don't even know where they're from. It's somewhere in Michigan that I've never heard of. But he's wonderful. Anyway, Undertaking, not being a book of his poetry, is in fact a book of essays about being a funeral director, about being an undertaker. And it's about much more than that. But it really gets you to see how you fit that into the rest of your life and how you don't fit it into the rest of your life and how it doesn't fit. And I don't really know anybody who's an undertaker. I mean, you deal with undertakers when somebody you know dies, but I don't really know anybody who's an undertaker. So today was the first funeral I've been to since I started reading this Thomas Lynch book. So I was kind of interested to look at the undertakers and try to imagine what their lives are like, because this Thomas Lynch book gives you kind of a sense of what your life is like if you're an undertaker. And I was thrown, and this is the inappropriate part, and so as I prepared myself for this, you know how you go to a funeral and there's clearly somebody who's kind of a leader of the undertakers in the church, and then there's some other people.
The funeral director, probably.
Yeah, funeral director, but then there's some other people from the funeral.
Right.
Often, are there? Mm-hmm. Who knows who they are? Well, the kind of leader was like this very, very attractive, like, woman in her late 20s who was, wearing this rather flattering black suit. And I thought, well, this doesn't fit into anything that I've read about in Thomas Lynch. I have no ability to imagine what this woman's life is like. I've never seen, like, a really attractive woman
under. Is there a guest coming up soon?
No. I know this all sounds really bad, but it's not. I mean, it was a lovely funeral. I really, you know, I didn't even really want to go that much, but I mean, I, you know, felt like I should. But the minute I got there, I found it very peaceful. Well, a lot of times you don't want to go.
I didn't really know this woman that well. I understand. I've been sitting here for, 7 years now, and I'm just waiting for the something. Rarely does it go like this.
Yeah, I'm just, that's really all surprised. I have to say is that it was, I liked them. Weddings are stupid, you know. I mean, I enjoy weddings, but what do you do at weddings? You get drunk and you dance, you know. And you don't think about anything. Weddings are not a good opportunity to reflect about anything. I have friends who say, I like weddings because they're so hopeful or something.
Yeah.
Well, even the fact that you would call them hopeful is, you know.
Usually, though, at a wedding, everybody goes home.
Right. Yeah, obviously.
Rather than
everybody minus one.
One.
Yeah, everybody minus one at a funeral.
But yeah.
I think not even true about weddings. I've been to lots of weddings where not everybody went home. At least not to their houses.
Yeah.
Weddings are, they're fun, but they're stupid. Whereas funerals are not fun, but they are really kind of nice opportunities to think about life and what it all means. And there, I do find them, as long as they're not incredibly tragic. Obviously, if the person died young, if the person's life was cut short abruptly, I mean, then that's different. But I'm talking about people who are, you know, live nice, full, robust lives, like this woman today. I just found it very pleasant, and I enjoyed this quite a bit. I don't know if you're supposed to. I didn't have time. I was going to go find this minister.
Please tell me you didn't applaud.
No, I didn't applaud, but I was going to go up to her and tell her how much I enjoyed the funeral.
I'll bet you were.
I'm not talking about the Undertaker. I think it's inappropriate to go up to the Undertaker, whether she's a hot-looking woman in her late 20s or not.
As this one just happened to
say, and say, I really enjoyed this.
Yeah.
I mean, you can say it to the minister. You can't say it. Well, never mind. It's not important. But I just
You could go up to those people and tell them they've done a good job.
Yeah, and I would. I thought this woman who was a minister, I thought she did a tremendous job. I mean, I really did. I thought she had a very. Yeah, I saw. I see what Mike wants to say. Okay. Well, we'll talk to Mike after the break. We happen to have a commercial.
Oh, there'll be others, yeah. I'm sure. 20 after 3. This is the Bruce and Colin Show.
I didn't mean to suggest by any of my other comments that these things are not solemn occasions, because obviously they are, but I just find them relaxing.
There's an undertaker up in Maine, a small town,
yeah,
who is not only the undertaker, but also runs the Napa store, which is kind of interesting.
Well,
you know,
parts don't work. You know,
put in a muffler or something.
Yeah, it's full service.
I would think, yeah.
I'm impressed by the thing you told me about your parents, about what they did. Do you want to mention this on the air, or is it too private?
Well, no, they were just a man. They paid for their funerals and all the,
really great.
Everything.
That's terrific.
Up front. I mean, it's all done, and they made their choices and everything, and
that is,
I have no idea what they are, but.
That's such a wonderful thing to do. I mean, just in terms of taking pressure off everybody else.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk to Mike, who wants to.
Wow.
What?
What a ride home this is on a Friday afternoon. A funeral is relaxing.
It is relaxing.
Hmm.
Well, it can be.
I don't know what to say, honestly. I mean, I'm sitting here driving down the road laughing so hard. And then with your Acme Auto and all these other comments, Napa.
Napa, yeah.
Yeah, Napa.
I ran the Napa distributor and an undertaker at the same time.
Wow. And the only
That's a true story, though.
When that bus backs up, the men that get out to get you are going to have white suits.
Well, no, I understand. I understand that my
I thought it was pretty ludicrous too to begin with. But you know, as I sit here and I digest this, I mean, I guess I can sort of understand, which is making me very frightened.
Yeah, it's the disturbing thing is the more that I you listen to me, the more sense that it starts to make. Yeah.
Yes. Well, you guys provide great comedy relief on the way home in the afternoon. So.
Often when we're trying to be serious,
I know that's the scary part.
All right, thanks for calling, Mike.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye bye. Bruce and Colin shall return.
All right, listen, we're going to take a few phone calls here. Our boss, Steve Salahini, a radio programming genius, said,
put lots of calls on the air. Don't talk to them very long, okay? Just say hello and then drop the line.
So we won't let you talk very much, but we will let you talk on the air. Those are our orders. We'll start with Tim from Granby.
Hi, Tim.
Hey, Colin.
Oh, you're done. Thank you.
Sorry.
All right. Meet Clarence.
Beneath the little halo on your noble head, there lies a thought that you, the devil, might be interested to know. You're like the finish of a novel that I finally have to take to bed. You fascinate me so. I feel like Christopher Columbus when I'm near enough to contemplate the sweet geography descending from your eyebrow to your toe. The possibilities are more than I can possibly enumerate. That's why you fascinate me so. Go sermonize and preach to me.
Thank you, Mabel.
Make
your ceremonious little speech to me.
It's 72 degrees in the studio.
This feels like it's about 100.
Where I get you from here, Arnold?
And you're afraid of what would happen if you ever let it go.
You expect to have flowers in here with us or something.
I just tried to turn it down. I'm not really
small
sure these
vegetable plants.
Yeah, I'm not sure these thermostats are actually connected to anything. I think they're mainly,
you know, actually. I think you're right.
I don't think they actually do anything. I think they're mainly here to humor us. I remember in the obscure Kurt Vonnegut novel, The Sirens of Titan, at one point a bunch of people have to leave, I think, Earth or the moon Titan, which is one of the moons of, I'm going to say, Jupiter, maybe?
I think so.
Well, anyway, they get into these rocket ships, and they're going somewhere. And the rocket ships are all sort of pre-programmed, but they have two buttons. One of the buttons starts the rocket ship on its journey to wherever it is it's going. Let's say
right.
Titan. And the other one does nothing, but it says off on it. The idea is that people would feel more comfortable if they thought that they could control the process a little bit.
Right.
Well, I think that the thermostat in here is kind of like that. I mean, I can go and fiddle with it all I want, but I don't think it actually does anything. I think it's just going to be 72 degrees, and we're just going to be hot. I'm so much more comfortable now. I was not comfortable before because I'd gone cross-country skiing before I came here, and I had all this new fabric called Capiline, which I bought some of because it flatters my figure, actually.
Yeah.
No, because I was hiking in Arizona. And you know what? When you do a hiking trip these days and you buy gear for it, what you realize is that it must have been almost impossible for Lewis and Clark to do what they did without wicking fabrics, for example. You have to have fabrics that wick. And maybe Sacagawea was able to help them wick in some highly naturalistic way, but... and you know, you just realize this: Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay, they got up that freaking mountain with, they didn't have Gore-Tex and ultralight titanium pack frames, and you know, they just humped everything up there. Maybe some poor Sherpa who got no credit humped everything up there, but I guess that would be Tenzing. But anyway, I was wearing all this weird polypropylene stuff, and I was suddenly really uncomfortable. Not only that, but I think it was also kind of sweaty. And the statuesque beauty, Rebecca Lobo, will be coming in here fairly soon. And
right.
I don't want to be sitting here stinking like yesterday's cheese. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I know exactly what you're saying.
I'd like to look and feel my best.
Well, I think you've accomplished that. Yeah.
So I feel better now. I've changed into a little moo-moo.
What I would do in request of you...
Yeah. I put on one of my
house coats. You can do what you want. But when Rebecca Lobo comes in, maybe the funeral talk might not be...
You know, Rebecca would probably understand what I'm talking about.
Why do you say that?
We won't talk about it. I just, you know, because I don't know. Because she's weird. But we're not going to talk about
that. I didn't get that impression that she was weird.
There's too much other stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
If you don't know the dark side of Rebecca Lobo. I'm getting to know the dark side of Rebecca Lobo.
Maybe it's the public persona that I'm...
Yeah, you know the public persona.
With.
You know the, oh, yes, I'd be happy to sign five more basketballs.
Yeah, but she's been in here a couple of times. My son's been in here. She's been very nice
to
him. She's gone out of her way to talk to him about theater and stuff. And I mean, I just, you know, that's impressive to me.
Nobody's saying she's not nice to children. We're just saying she has a dark side, that's all. Anyway, our numbers, if you want, this is a good time to do open phones about presumably other topics. 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, *WTIC. Also coming up a little bit later, Regina Borecka, author of I'm With Stupid, co-author of I'm With Stupid.
Is Al Haney involved in that song?
Yeah. We said it at the same time. And
caught heat, by the way.
You did?
He really got nasty with me.
About
the comments you made about him being short?
I didn't really say he was short.
Well, you implied that he was short.
I don't think I directly said...
The word insubordination came up with me. And I had nothing to do with that, as usual.
What I said was that on American Idol, and I believe this is a story worth following anyway, there is a little person on American Idol who has made it past the first round, made the cut, and she's going to Hollywood. I can't believe that I'm actually watching this show. It is...
Neither can I.
But anyway...
Which is a further indication that maybe... You're starting to lose it.
Yeah, I think I am. I'm hanging around with a bad crowd is what's happening. But a little person, and I don't know
whether
she's a dwarf or a midget or whatever she is, but she's a good singer. She's a very good, she deserves, I mean, it wasn't like they took pity on her or something like that. She's a really good singer. She deserves to go to Hollywood. But I just said that it might be a source of inspiration to Steve Salhaney, our boss.
Well...
That's all I said. I didn't
particularly think it was that short. Shortcomings, maybe, but not short.
Right. Let's talk to the John the Explorer, John. Or either John. Any John.
Which one would you like? Line three?
Let's start with line three.
All right. John.
Hi, John.
Our toilet seats, and remember all those kinds of things? I bought, I don't even know if I can say this out loud, it's so embarrassing. I bought for $20, I bought a titanium coffee cup, a coffee mug. I don't know what I thought. I should have my head examined. You know, because, of course, I wouldn't want to pack just a normal, like, plastic coffee cup or something like that. Oh, no, I had to get a little bit lighter in my pack, so I had to have a titanium coffee cup.
Yeah.
But they'll tell you that it all adds up.
Well, it does all add up, but then, I mean, you know, I hiked back out of the wilderness with an unused three quarters of a pound of Tang, you know. So, the difference of an ounce or two in my coffee cup really didn't make that much of a difference.
Just for the future, the Capoline stuff that you bought, I've got a pair of, I think they're mountain weight or expedition weight Capoline pants.
Yeah.
Or like long underwear things.
Yeah, I get this.
I've had it for probably 15 years.
Yeah.
And it still holds up great.
I put them on sometimes in my house, the long underwear ones and a long underwear top, and I pretend I'm Ron Reagan Jr. with this kind of thwarted dancing career, and I dance around a little bit, you know. And then I go and I look in the mirror and I say my father doesn't understand that I need to dance.
All right.
And then I go to bed.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks for calling in. I see, Ron Reagan Jr. is now on MSNBC as like a commentator, and during the primary, they have him going up to maps and pointing at them and stuff. Like, he knows anything. I mean, you know.
Man can dance.
Yeah, like if Alvin Ailey was running for president, maybe that would be worth having Ron up there, but I, you know. Interest in the fundamentally boring Super Bowl game, they have agreed to play the third quarter as a Ricky Williams NFL Street video game style. It's time for Sports Artois, a very French sports discussion segment, which actually has four people on it today. Avec Monsieur
Sports Artois, wouldn't it?
Becca Lobo Russian, Monsieur Bambrosio, Monsieur Stevens, and myself, Louis Gascon de la Mer.
Now, why is that a piece?
But it's worth the race. Every penny Connecticut AIDS resident
coalition. Colin and I are on the committee.
Yeah, we raise money.
And it should be a great time. Yeah. It's at the Trumbull Kitchen.
It's a great night. I've been doing this thing for years, and it's really fun. You'll have a good time.
This will be my first, but I've heard it's tremendous.
All right. She's going to ask the...
thank God. A little switch here. Ask Mr. Ambrosio committee come up with this question?
Yeah, I can't. I came up with the question. But she may put her own spin on it, too. So.
No, I'm going to leave it just the way it is, all because right. It's such a, you know, incredibly question. Terrific question.
Thank you. Much like you.
The question is, what's the difference between hard water and soft water?
Well, we did this one already.
You did it already?
I think we did hard water and soft water.
Of course you give me the repeat question.
But see, the thing about it, we can refresh the listener's memory. No, we haven't, because the terms are actually inaccurate. Hard water is actually soft water, and soft water is hard water. And people get confused with that.
Like, why is that?
Why do people get confused?
Yeah.
Because when you hear something's hard, you should think it's hard.
Right.
And if it's soft, then it's not hard, and then you have problems.
Has that ever happened before?
Hard things being confused that way?
Right.
In some places.
Uh-huh.
In some places, it has. But the problem is...
Backing away.
You all right, Rebecca? Everything all right? Come on. Great. How old are you now? 28, 29? All this brilliant career?
Something like that,
This lifestyle that you've carved out for yourself is going to be cut down in 5 minutes.
I think she's thinking it was a good thing she got the proclamation before the appearance. You know, that is there a follow-up to that?
I don't think there should be.
Well, what is
that an answer?
Is hard water actually hard? I mean,
hard water is soft. The soft water is hard, and a lot of people use in South America, the soft / hard water has been used mistakenly for drinking water, and that's caused. Lots of problems, lots of intestinal problems that we can't go over at the dinner hour. And plus, with Rebecca sitting here. Now, if Rebecca wasn't here, I could run through those. But I can't do that with someone as classy and dignified as Rebecca
did. Thank you.
It has. I think we're getting into repeats. I think we need new questions. Good thing I'm not in it at all next week.
Okay. Attention, small business owners. Does your file server need to be rebooted every week? Are you spending time on the phone hashing out computer problems with tech support rather than servicing, if you know what I mean, your customers? Do you have an employee in your office working on your computers rather than the job that they were hired to do, mopping out the bathrooms? Wouldn't it be better to call a local company that can come to you instead of dealing with some big computer manufacturers far, far away in jerk-ass Texas who they don't care about your problems, and they're never going to hear from you again, and they're probably not even listening when you talk? Whereas, if you call TAB Computer Systems today, that's 1-888-TAB,
for help, then you get the help.
You don't know the area code for that place in Texas.
In East Jerkface, Texas, whatever it is. Yeah. No, I don't. It doesn't make any difference. Don't call there. Call a tab, because these are little geeks and they live around here, and you can grab their heads and knock them together if they don't do what they're supposed to. It's Eric and TJ. They do a horrendous show on Saturday mornings on this radio station, but they run a great computer company. Tab Small Business Maintenance Plan with rates as low as $36 per hour. All of Tab's computers and file servers come with 3-year warranties on parts and labor. You save time, you save money, and you go local with people who cannot avoid you when you're mad at them. If the things are not working, you just drive out to Tab Computer Systems, now in their new, larger, loser facility in East Hartford, and just grab the first two geeks you see and throw them in the back of your car and take them back there and say, fix this or die. TabComputerSystems.com. Tab is a registered trademark of Tab Computer Systems.
Subtle approach.
Technology's advancing business.
Bruce and Colin shall return.
For tax purposes, I'm a Navajo lesbian. I get certain write-offs that way.
Wait a minute. Why? Why even ask?
There's certain rituals I could do in my living room. Navajo and Hopi lesbian rituals are actually tax deductible.
So, how's the water in my home? It's great. Uh-oh. Still doing things the hard way?
We'll get to that in a second. But joining us now is Frank Vitesse. Frank Vitesse, a noted arch-conservative, red-meeting Republican from West Hartford. And he's part of a movement called the Cowboys. I assume are you still part of the Cowboys?
Oh, yeah, I'm proud of the Cowboys. I got my short skirt, and I do those high kicks. It's tough.
What is it, like the Village People or something? What are you talking about that?
No, sort of like that. But first, I got a bone to pick with you. This Colin?
Yeah.
I think my connection's not very good in an audio set. I was listening this afternoon, and you referred to me in glowing terms, except for the one adjective, pinhead.
Yeah.
And, remember the Refrigerator Club?
The Refrigerator Club?
Yeah, I used to do a show on the...
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we had two rules. One was that you tell... facts. You speak facts,
okay.
Or you express an opinion. Now, if you had said, "In my opinion, he's a pinhead," that would have been fine. Now, the correct expression should have been, "He's a fathead, or a meathead, or a fat ass." Those are accurate.
Okay, but not a pinhead. I'm really sorry. I'm sorry for calling you.
Look, I love this. This is intercourse. Intercourse without friction is sort of fruitless.
I've never had intercourse with a pinhead.
Well, first
and
time.
I'm sticking by that. You know, Rebecca Lobo's in here listening to all this, and it's
Rebecca still there?
She's still here. Julie, would you like to salute her?
Yes, I would. I honor her very much. I'd like to say to her and the people of the state of Connecticut that it wasn't for the girls' basketball team, we would still not be on the map anywhere in the world.
I think they're called the women's basketball team.
Did I say that?
Either way, you're clearly not a pinhead, and I agree with you.
God bless you.
She'll take anybody's side against
Rebecca, you inspire me to grow up to be a woman, but a little late. Did a great job, and God bless you. In fact, you did, in my opinion, put Connecticut on the map and everything else that flows from it. You guys should get a 300-pigeon statue in the park somewhere.
Her and Thomas Hooker, I think. You'd have to say the two of them, put Connecticut on the map.
Well, whatever, yeah.
Yeah. Explain about the Cowboys. These are people who are going to rustle up some doggies to save Governor Rowland from the necktie party. What are the Cowboys doing?
I have to back up a little bit. We had an interview. Actually, I did a mailing to the Republican Party and our followers, and that's about 400 people.
Yeah,
there are about 10 of us that are active. For example, if I sent you an email saying we'll come down and discuss pro-life, imagine how many people would show up.
Right.
Okay. Now, we're actually a recognized, certified chapter of the National Federation of Republican Assemblies.
Yeah.
And this is an outgrowth from the Connecticut Republican Assembly in California, who was founded by Steve Franks, I believe, in the 70s or 80s.
Way too much background.
No, I got to wear it. So now our role is to make the Republican Party more Republican.
Yeah.
And in the state of Connecticut, you know, Connecticut's motto is the land of steady habits.
Yeah.
I remind people that dead people have steady habits.
Yeah.
Okay, so we want to get a little life into the party. So we formed
They stick to their diets anyway.
Pardon?
They stick to their diets anyway.
Well, it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
But in any event, we want to stir up the Republicans, especially emphasizing the principles of the Republican Party, which are essentially conservative, a small, limited government, reasonable budgets, respect for the Constitution, both legally, et cetera, and down the line. Okay.
Right. So that's the bedrock of what you're doing. But explain about the cowboy part.
Sue Haig of Associated Press got the letter and interviewed me, and I told her that our role in the Republican Party is much like cowboys riding a herd. If the herd stays on course, we don't say very much. If the herd deviates, we make a lot of noise and get it back on course. If the head cow is got mad cow disease, we cut them out of the herd best we can and put a new cow up front. Now, the term, actually, it's an animal-based analogy in this business, but...
I'm following it so far.
So far, so good. There'll be a test after this, but it won't count until you're on the way. One more, boy, one more.
That was Rebecca, actually. That wasn't me.
Hey, Bruce, you there?
Right here.
Okay. Well, now, you keep an eye on Colin. He gets out of hand.
Yeah, I will.
Give this medicine.
All over it. I have a whip.
All right.
So what are you going to do? I mean, you're going to cut the head out, or what are you going to do? What are the Cowboys going
to
do?
Things. We're going to agitate, first of all, and thanks to you and the TIC and the press for being fair. As a matter of fact, I have to say something
here.
Well,
when did that start?
Good. Hey, give me an opportunity. The Democrats, I believe, have acted admirably and decently, and I find that those words hard to say. But what we're going to do is become active in the Republican Party locally by applying pressure, using this incident as the hole in the line, so to speak, of using a football analogy. And we want to see the people in Connecticut, the Republican people, put more conservative people into office, and then hold their feet to the fire, make them do in office what they said they would do when they got elected. We remind people that all of the people I hang around with are Americans first. We happen to belong to the Republican Party because that's closer to our beliefs. That's all. Simple as that.
Yeah.
All right. What else you want to know?
Well, I want to know, so what are you going to do? Are you going to try to save Governor Rowland, or are you going to
that's a good question. It's not our duty to save him. All we did was jump in front of the lynch mob and tell him, put down your pitchforks and your flaming batons.
Well, that doesn't sound like you're riding to the rescue anymore, then.
Well, we can't ride to the rescue. What are we supposed to do?
Be like Democrats
subvert the legal process?
Well, there's that. Or you can just fire your pistols into the air and say...
Well, that's what we're doing.
Stop, you awful cavalry boys.
That's
please leave our governor alone.
We cannot intervene in the legal process. And all we're saying is give Rowland a fair shot. Get the press off his back. I mean, the current I hope they're getting a big fee from the Democratic Party, in my opinion, because they write a slant. This is slanted. They make assumptions. They start off with assumptions. The man's guilty. He did this. Mm-hmm.
Well, he is.
No, he's not.
No, I'm just kidding.
Of course.
It's
got to keep you on course. Come on, get back in line.
I've enjoyed this so much, I can't even tell you. But we're out of time. We have to go to traffic right now. Frank Budesch, thank you very much for joining us. Good luck with your Cowboys.